Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, June 13th, 8:44 Central Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. That means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday to you.
And to you as well. It's Friday the 13th.
That's right. Nothing to be afraid of, though, right?
No, we are not superstitious because we know our Lord and God takes care of us every day.
Amen. Amen. He provides for all that we need.
Absolutely, because He provided for our greatest need, which is sending Jesus to be our Savior. So He who did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us all, surely with Him gives us all things. And nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. And He created all things, didn't He?
Absolutely.
The earth and all that is in it is the Lord's, right?
Indeed. That is the testimony of Scripture from the very first verse to the very last.
And so I know that the first topic today on our plate, intelligent design.
There was an article in The Atlantic that appeared online. Sometimes when you turn on your computer to check your email, you get these news things that come up. And the headline said, intelligent design slowly going out of style, question mark. And the article has to do with a survey that was taken by Gallup. Apparently, the Gallup survey folks have been doing this for some years, surveying Americans' opinions about where human beings came from. And he says they started polling Americans about this in 1982. And from that time onward, people that are here labeled creationists have pretty well stayed faithful to their views. The numbers may fluctuate a bit from year to year, but for the past two decades, a little more than two-fifths, 40%, of Americans have consistently said that they believe that, quote, God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so, end of quote. So that's a statement with which about 40% of Americans agree and have said so on these polls dating back to 1982. But others who give answers to these polling questions have varied somewhat. And they're the evolution cheerleaders and the intelligent design advocates. In this survey released last week, a record level of respondents who believe, quote, human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God had no part in this process, end of quote. And so that's basically people who would believe in evolution. And that group is 19% of the people who were polled most recently. That's an increase of 6 percentage points since 2004. So there seems to be a steady upward climb in those who are believing in evolution and over millions of years, with God really having nothing to do with it. Now, another group of people that have been identified by these pollsters are those that are here labeled intelligent design. And here, like people who believe in creation, you know, that's a popular idea because it does involve God. But we'll explain in a moment that it's not the same as biblical creationism. But back to the poll, just for the sake of continuing this article, it said, in 2014, only 31% of people agree with this statement, quote, human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God guided this process, end of quotation. Now, that had been 38% as recently as 2010. So in the past 4 years, the same question has gotten 7% less respondents to agree with it. Now, what the article goes on to say, the article in The Atlantic, is they view this as people being more comfortable by combining their religious views and science without thinking that believing in evolution has to negate a belief in God or a belief in the Bible generally, even if you don't believe it to be literally true. That's the gist of what this article goes on to say, that more and more people just are comfortable holding these differing points of view in their head and don't really see that as problematical. Whereas we, of course, see that as problematical in that to believe in evolution, even theistic evolution, buying into the millions and billions of years, suffering a death before there was mankind and sin, you know, conflicts with the Bible And therefore is a problem for a Bible-believing Christian, because you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not what God says. And ultimately, it undermines the preaching and teaching of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so what we want to point out to people is intelligent design is not the same as biblical creationism. There's overlap, and there's a certain amount of things in which we agree. But, you know, you could go back to the late 1700s, early 1800s, and a man by the name of William Paley, who used the watch, where there's a watch, there's a watchmaker argument. And natural theology at that time kind of had this idea that we can support the teaching that there is a God using general revelation, the fact that God has revealed himself in the universe that he made, even apart from the special revelation of God's word, the Bible, and help to people to understand that there is certainly evidence for the existence of God. And we don't disagree with that. But unfortunately, in recent years, the people who have adopted the intelligent design point of view have been often very willing to compromise the truth of Scripture, the truth of Genesis, and say, well, we don't have to believe in a six-day creation. We can believe in millions and billions of years. Mm-hmm. We can believe in a Big Bang. We can believe in the evolution of life from lower forms to more complex forms, including humans eventually evolving from lower forms of life over vast time periods. But then they would say God is the one who guided the process. And when they talk about intelligent design, usually what they would say is you look at living things, and also the fact that the universe seems precisely tuned to support life, especially life on planet Earth. And they would say, you know, you see evidence that this couldn't just happen by accident. And there's this what we call irreducible complexity. When you look at living things, and things, you know, whether you're talking about the human eye, whether you're talking about the blood clotting mechanism in mammals and so forth, you realize this couldn't happen by accident. You know, you don't get a lot of tries to partially get this right, and eventually by incremental changes come up with these wonderful things like the eye or blood clotting or things like this. And so these folks, even looking at DNA and the structure of a cell, would say this shows by its design that it was intelligently created. Nevertheless, these people don't go all the way and acknowledge that that creator is the God of the Bible. Rather, they leave that sort of an open question. So with intelligent design, you're able to say there has to be a God. There has to be a maker. There has to be an intelligent designer for it all. There's the things that we see, life and the things supporting life on planet Earth, are just too much to be a coincidence. Obviously, there is a God. But they leave unanswered the question as to who that God is, and certainly don't agree with what the Bible says about who God is and what he did in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, as the Scriptures teach. Now, you know, I think what you and I can say, going back to the original article here from the Atlantic, is, you know, polls are fine, but that's not the bottom line. It's not a matter of people's opinions. You know, you and I certainly want to persuade people to believe the right thing, and we would like everyone to recognize that God is the creator. But ultimately, our success or failure is not a matter of what we do. You know, as all preaching of the Word of God is, you know, we are faithful to what God says. We want to say what God says, not changing it, not adding to it, not taking away from it, but faithfully proclaim the Word of the Lord, and, you know, let the Holy Spirit do his work. And only the Holy Spirit brings people to repentance and faith, and that's ultimately what we're caring about. Because it's more than whether somebody believes that we're created by God, as the Genesis says, or not. The main thing we're concerned about is that people believe in Jesus Christ. At the same time, what we would say, it's not inconsequential whether a person believes the Genesis account of creation or not, because to deny what God says and to believe something other and contrary to what God says in the Word is a form of unbelief, is it not? You know, it amounts to a denial of the truth of God's Word, and ultimately, you know, it does impinge upon the preaching of the gospel, which begins with the fact that God created us, that we disobeyed God and fell away from God, that he already, in the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve, promised the coming of a Savior who would crush the serpent's head and set us free from sin and death and hell. And then all the other messianic promises God makes in the Old Testament come true.
Right.
When Jesus Christ comes into the world, born of a virgin, living that perfect life for us, suffering and dying on the cross, the Son of God in human flesh, being our substitute, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He dies, he rises again on the third day, just the way God promised he would. And he gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. You know, he's ascended into heaven, he's preparing a place for us, and is coming to bring us home. That whole story hangs together in the Bible. And to begin to unravel the beginning of it back in Genesis by saying, well, we don't believe this. You know, we've seen in plenty of Christian denominations that in the end has disastrous results. They begin by not believing the whole Bible. They begin by doubting and questioning the story of creation, Adam and Eve, the fall into sin, and pretty soon, you know, it goes all the way, well, is Jesus really the Son of God? Did he really die for our sins? Did he really bodily rise from the dead?
Is he really the only way to the Father?
Ah, there you go. And sadly, very many Christian denominations and their pastors and their theologians have denied the essential gospel itself, but it didn't begin there. You know, the doubts and the questions and the unbelief started with letting Satan have a foothold, get his foot in the door by saying, did God really say, and do you really have to believe in creation? So what we would say is, we do believe in creation, and our faith in what God says in the Bible is what the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, even as he brings us to repentance of faith in Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, who died and rose again to save us from our sins. That same Holy Spirit who brings us to faith in the gospel, in the special, narrow sense, is the same one who then also convinces us, as we read the scriptures, that the rest of what God says is true. And we have the wonderful resources of people like Answers in Genesis today that help us to realize that actually the best scientific evidence also supports what the Bible says. So when people act as though, well, you're not going to believe the Bible because science has proven evolution, we say, well, not so much. And let's look at what actually science, observational science, does say. And you realize, well, the millions and billions of years are not a scientific fact. You know, where did that idea come from? And you examine, you know, how do we know how old the world is?
Mm-hmm.
And then how about life coming from non-life? You know, scientifically, no one has ever seen life come from non-living matter. Or the spontaneous improvement of living things from simple to more complex, adding information to the genetic code. Nobody's ever seen that happen in observational science. In other words, what we see actually matches what we read in Genesis. In the beginning, God created things. He made everything able to reproduce after its own kind, all living things. And so that's still what we observe. That matches what God says in Genesis. Why on earth would you question what God says there? When it matches what we actually see. And there is no real scientific evidence that contradicts what God says. And what God says in Genesis, you know, not only matches what we see in the world, but also it ties in right in with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, God created the perfect world, our sin messed it up, and yet he didn't stop loving us. He promised and sent Jesus to be our Savior.
All of his word is true. Thanks, Pastor Wirth, for reminding us of that and always pointing us back to the truth.
It's my pleasure.
God's blessings to you this week.
God bless you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got morning prayer right around the corner. Stick around for that here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.